Yesterday, the United Nations Refugee Agency's most senior protection official, Volker Türk, described Australia's refugees crisis as a sonic social time bomb due to our country's failure to process 30,000 asylum seekers currently living in the country on bridging visas. In the last 2 years, 10 asylum seekers have taken their own lives whilst on the bridging visas. So, is the uncertainty around these visas a death sentence for some? And are these types of visas stopping refugees from moving on and rebuilding their lives? I'm joined over the phone by Dr. Graham Tom, a refugee coordinator at the Amnesty International. How are you, Graham?
Good, yes. No, it's we're living in interesting times, particularly when we're looking at the rights of refugees in this country, that's for sure.
So for those of us who don't know, what is a bridging visa?
Well, the government can use bridging visas in many different ways. And so people who come on tourist visas, for instance, and overstay and then have to go home can be put in on a bridging visa while they sort out their affairs. And so bridging visas are used in a range of different circumstances. Australia doesn't like people to be illegal in the community, so they will grant them a bridging visa. And one of the ways we've seen it used increasingly for asylum seekers is to get them out of detention. Because we have this mandatory detention policy whereby everybody who comes undocumented must be detained and can be detained until they die. When we had significant numbers coming by boats, obviously that created an issue for the government. So they released most of them on bridging visas into the community, sometimes with work rights, sometimes without work rights, sometimes with access to certain benefits, which are, 89% of the lowest Centrelink payments, so pretty much keeping people in destitution, and sometimes, with no benefits whatsoever. So there are a range of different bridging visas that can be used, and in particular, the group that Volker Türk was talking about were the people who arrived post August 2012 and pre-July 2013. This is about 30,000 people. And they had their processing suspended while the current government tried to introduce temporary protection visas. And they were suspended under the previous government as well. So from August 2012 right the way up till sort of mid-2014, all these people were left in limbo, 30,000 people left in limbo on these bridging visas, separated from their family, not knowing what was going to happen to them. And then the government changed the legislation and has created a new processing regime for these people, this fast-track processing, which hasn't really been very fast-track at all. So that's now what is ahead of the 30,000 people. And if they're the lucky ones that are successful through this process, they get a temporary protection visa or a CHEV visa. So again, they're separated from their family forever. And that's what's having this horrible effect on their mental health. And as you mentioned, 10 people have committed suicide, taken their own lives in the last 2 years because of the uncertainty around their future.
What is the next step for a refugee once gaining it? And what kind of issues might this present for a refugee's daily life?
Well, it's very difficult for them. And part of the problem being on a bridging visa, and even if you have work rights, is convincing somebody to employ you because, on a bridging visa, this could be taken away at any time. So your status is very uncertain. And so therefore, why would an employer invest in you and as opposed to employing somebody who's on some sort of permanent visa. And so now these people, even once they go through this latest fast track system, which we have great concerns about in terms of whether or not it's going to be fair and transparent for those going through it, who are already traumatised from the years of being in limbo, no legal assistance to help them through. The best they can hope for is either a temporary protection visa, which means if they're granted that visa every 3 years, they have to reapply. So again, it's keeping them in limbo. While they're on that visa, they can't sponsor their family to come out here. If they leave their country, if they leave this country to go and visit their family, they lose their visa. So in effect, they're going to be separated from their family forever. And these are young men who have wives and children and others overseas, being told you'll never see your family again. Their alternative is to go on the Chev visa, the Safe Haven Enterprise visa, which means they have to go live out in a rural area for, and it's a 5-year visa, and they have to live out in a rural area for 3 years, and then they can apply for another type of visa. But these other types of visas are also really difficult to get. So the chances of them actually getting that is slim. Again, they can't see their family during that time. There's all that separation. And then they'll have to just apply for another 5-year visa. So it's this uncertainty and separation from family, many of whom are trapped in very dangerous situations, that is really starting to break people and not letting them get on with their lives.
Around 30,000 asylum seekers are in the community on bridging visas after arriving by boat during the term of the former Labor government. Why is there a legacy caseload?
Well, I think this was, it's called the legacy caseload by the current government. And I think it was because we had an increase in boats. The Labor government was trying to work out what can they do about this, how can they stop the boats. That mantra became very loud. And so what they did, they pulled together an expert panel. And the expert panel's main recommendation was something called no advantage. You weren't going to get any advantage if you came here by boat. And so it meant that you would face the same as if you were in a camp, somewhere in Pakistan or Jordan or Malaysia. And so they essentially froze the processing of anybody who arrived after that time. That's August in 2012. And so these people were stuck with nothing happening for them. And slowly they were released on bridging visas into the community. And so when the Liberal Party was elected in 2013, they said, right, well, we'll start processing again, but only if these people can apply for temporary protection visas. And they tried to reintroduce temporary protection. They didn't want these people ever to be granted permanent protection. And that took a number of years, or a year and a half, to get that legislation through. And so, again, these men were kept in limbo that whole time. They weren't going to be processed until the current government had a temporary protection visa for them to apply for. And so now that started, and they've had to reintroduce the various systems that they want to put in place to process them. So again, that's taken more time for these people before they can actually apply, because they started...
Sorry, Graham, we'll just have to stop it there. We've just got to make way for the news. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, just 11 o'clock
news. It's a complicated thing.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
All right, thank you so much, Graham. That was Amnesty International's refugee coordinator, Dr. Graham Tom, educating us all on the complexities of the bridging visa. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.